Last Sunday, we looked at the total depravity of man. And about Tuesday, I became burdened to follow up with that message. One that speaks of where we stand today as blood-bought children of God. One of a redeeming quality. So I hope the Lord will bless us tonight to look at that for a few moments. God made man upright. He made Adam holy and perfect with a will that fully 100% desired to serve him. And then he fell and became depraved. And thereafter, and ever since then, has man been at enmity with God. They have been enemies. And all the time does man desire to do only that which pleases his flesh. That is the state we are in without Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Because, thank God, that is not the end of our story. Colossians chapter 1, let's start in verse 19. And in the first section of this chapter, we have an incredible description and display of the glory of Jesus Christ, how he is the creator of all things, that all things are through him and in him and for him, that he has all power. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. We'll just start right there. In verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you in the pew, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Through death. He hath reconciled you and me through death in the body of his flesh. Reconciled. If we take apart that word, the first part, the re, means again, or a returning, a reply, if you will. That's where we get that. The consile part is the with, is together with. If we put those together, understanding the origin of that word, reconcile means that we are again together with. So Jesus Christ, through the body of his flesh, through death, has brought us together with God again, like Adam was before he fell. But even better. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now those are absolute terms. Unblameable and unreprovable. So never again will we fall out of communion, togetherness with God, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross shedding his blood in death. Let's look at this death. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6 gives us some insight into the practical effects of the death of Jesus Christ. How it makes sense to us that He reconciled us through His death. And Romans 5, which we looked at last time, describes to us our state, our inheriting sin, being sinners in Adam. And then in the last verse of Romans 5, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So how is that true? I would love to just read the whole chapter 6, but we're not going to do that. We're going to take a few verses and hopefully extract the core of what Paul is telling us here. Let's start in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, that totally depraved man, is crucified with Him, Jesus Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Jesus Christ did die, and He killed death. He killed that death that had complete reign that we read about in verse 21. Sin hath reigned unto death. Well, He destroyed death. And He did it one time. And that has implications in our lives, as we'll see. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. This is where we come in. Because of Jesus Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ye yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have the dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Today, sin, the death grip of sin, is no longer a death grip. It has been mortally weakened. And in ultimate and eternal sense, it is gone. Sin hath no more dominion over you and over me. What does this mean? This means that there is no addiction. There is no struggle. There is no temptation, none under the whole earth that we encounter today that just overcomes us. There's no way around it. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That means that we cannot say, well, it's just the way I am. I guess I'll struggle with it till the day I die. No! That is, first of all, a defeatist attitude. But in Jesus Christ, we're victors over this very sin that we're saying, it's just gonna beat me till I die. And then one day, when I'm finally resurrected with like Jesus Christ, I'll have victory over it. But according to this, we have victory over it today. Now let's move down to the end of this chapter. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. We were not able. We could not have righteousness. So this is an unusual way to use the word free. But it's saying we were not with it. We couldn't be with it. You were free from righteousness. And in that situation, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But death is what Jesus Christ defeated. So these sins, the fruit of which is death, Jesus Christ has beaten them. He has taken away, He has relinquished that death grip on you. You can and you are free from these sins. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now this is a beautiful expression, because before Jesus Christ, we were unholy. There was no way that we could possibly be holy again before God. But we have been reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ. We've been made free from sin, and we are now servants to God. And because of His Holy Spirit, we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we can exude the fruit of the Spirit unto holiness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we sin, day to day, what do we struggle with today? Do we struggle with pride? Do we struggle with envy? Do we have bitterness in our hearts? Do we have anger problems? Do we worry? Do we have self-righteousness over others? All these sins. And then those which are more external and obvious that we all know are terrible sins. But these are sins of the heart. And God looks upon the heart. These sins do not have dominion over you. So, if we go to Romans 5, verse 8. All this Paul expresses here. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So Jesus Christ died. He defeated death. He made us clean, and He reconciled us to our Heavenly Father. But He did even more than that. Because God resurrected Him, and He lived a whole, full, and perfect life. And in His life, He beat, if you will, all of these sins that we've named, and so many more that we've not named, that we struggle with every day. So where can we have victory over these sins? Where can we have victory? It is in the life of Jesus Christ. So he reconciled us, and much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we have to look to Jesus Christ. Now if we turn to Galatians chapter 5, chapter 5. This is all glorious truth. The freedom, the salvation that we have today in Jesus Christ to live holy lives that are acceptable to God. But in Galatians 5, Paul gives us some contrast. Let's start in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Isn't that the spiritual warfare that we deal with every day? But he's telling us we can walk in the Spirit. And then the next few verses, he lists out several of these sins that we all, whether in the heart or externally, struggle with. And they're all self-serving. They're all, what is in it for me? But if we move down to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Christ fulfilled every one of these qualities while he lived here on earth perfectly. And so he set an example, but he also is telling us that, yes, through me, you can live this way too. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here he really gets to it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. The vainglory is all those things that we do for ourselves, all those self-serving sins, provoking one another, envying one another. We will be sinners until the Lord brings us home to glory, until we are perfectly glorified. However, Jesus Christ has paved the way for us, and he's given us his Holy Spirit, and he has loosed and destroyed the bondage of sin over us, so that it is even possible that we have the fruits of the Spirit. So, tomorrow, tonight, because it won't take till tomorrow for us to have spiritual warfare within ourselves. Next time you want to have that bitter attitude, or next time you want to be envious or prideful or be angry, remember that Jesus Christ has defeated and has conquered those sinful urgings. But we're not trying to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit for ourselves. We're not trying to be spiritually minded and meek and loving to make ourselves look good. We're doing it for Jesus Christ. So if you ask, well, what's really in it for me to love instead of be angry anyway? That's not going to get you there. Jesus Christ is the end. He is the way, the truth, and the life.